We are in 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 7. We'll just read this passage first, and then we'll work through it. The end of all things is near, therefore be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, not all of you guys were here last week. We covered mostly verse 7 last week. The end of all things is near, therefore be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. So, we're going to skip this part, the sound judgment and sober spirit for prayer. But I feel like the beginning here, the end of all things is near, is sort of the header for this entire section. So the end of all things is near. If you were here last week, you probably remember, but we kind of talked about how I don't think he's trying to say, at least I hope not, I don't think he's trying to say, like, hey, God's about to come back, because this was 2,000 years ago. But rather that we're in sort of a period of time that's leading up to the end. And some of those things have already begun, even there. It says later in 1 Peter that it is time for the judgment of God to start with us, the church. And so we're in a time period of judgment and refining the church, purifying the church, growing the church. And so that's the time that we're in, and it's an important time. And therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit. And therefore, verse 8, above all, so even, I shouldn't say more important than sound judgment and sober spirit and prayer, but like the pinnacle of things that are important is keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. This point is so important that, and I've told this story before to you guys, probably not every single one of you, but it's one of my favorite stories about John the Apostle. In his old age, he would show up somewhere to give a message, and people came from many miles, probably got up early in the morning, right? Hiked that 20 miles in to see the great apostle Paul speak. John, thank you. The great apostle John, probably the only living apostle at that time. And they would usher him up on stage, and he would get up there and he would look at them and say, love one another. And then he would get off of stage. And I imagine the first time this happened, probably there was a discussion afterwards, like, what are you doing? These people came to see you speak. And, you know, it's when I first heard this story, I got this, like, impression, like, okay, an old guy, right? And, you know, as we get older, we get stuck in our, like, this is my thing. This is what I tell people. This is important. And, you know, the capacity for much more than that starts falling away. There's one way to see it, like, that's what he was doing. But I'd like to think that probably he knew how to talk. He could probably give a long message. And I imagine them like, what are you doing? And he says, listen, guys, these people came from miles to take something important away. And if I gave a 2-hour message, they would remember whatever suits them and take that home. And they will interpret it the way they want to, because I piled up a bunch of words that they can pick and choose from, and everybody's going to hear something different. And there's only one message that I want them taking home, and I don't want them to be confused about what that is. And when they get home and somebody asks, what did the Apostle John say? They're going to say what I said. And so that's what I did. Like, that's how I imagined it going down the first time. And whatever, it's conjecture. But that's how important this part is. Now, above all, keep fervent. That word fervent, the direct translation from the Greek word is to stretch. You aren't supposed to just like, oh, you know, like, we got to be nice to one another. That's cool. They smiled at me. I smiled at them. Don't you feel stretched? Yeah, no. Let's take a peek at Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Not only does the one who loves fulfill the law, but did you know you owe love? Like, God has forgiven all your sin debt. So you don't owe anything for your sin. And so, as Christians, often we think, like, I've been freed from everything. Yeah, everything but one thing. You have one debt, and you will never pay it off, and you must continue to try to pay it off. And that is the love God showed you. You will always owe for that, and you are always obligated to try to pay it back. And we pay that back in the one another. There's that parable of the debtor, right? Where, like, the servant owes a bunch to the king, and the king forgives him, and then he turns around and doesn't forgive his fellow servant. And the king throws him into jail to the torturers. That's the impression you'll keep getting in Scripture when it comes to this having to love one another. The goats and the sheep. God divides the goats and the sheep on Judgment Day in one of the parables. And the sheep get in and the goats don't. What did the sheep do that the goats didn't do? Caring about the one another. Helping those in need, those who are poor. Love. They didn't try to pay back the love. They didn't know they owed love. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 4. So above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin. God forgives, we forgive. God cares and gives, we care and give. And we're either participants in that or we're not. And so we're supposed to stretch ourselves. There, every once in a while, we hear about like some Catholic monk. I hear about some Catholic monk that did this or that, or Mother Teresa, or someone, right? And we can be like, yeah, they're trying to earn their way to heaven, which is Greek for I have an excuse why I don't do that, right? We can't work off our debt to God, but we are called to stretch ourselves for this purpose. And so as an example, he goes in verse 9, be hospitable to one another without complaint. Hospitality, I've been often taught, and it is true, that hospitality is love of strangers. In fact, Hebrews, might as well go there, Hebrews 13. Right from the beginning, let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Then remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. I really brought verse 3 only into it because I love the way he says that, that we're supposed to remember those in prison because you are also in the body. I don't know if that's a translation thing. I didn't look into it deeply, but it just struck me that like, oh, the body includes people that are in prison. And because they're in prison, I have to pay attention and care about them. Because I'm in the body. If you're in the body, that's what you have to do. But hospitality to strangers is definitely a thing. But looking into the word a bit more, it was used the way we use hospitality, which is just someone who doesn't, you know, someone who's not your wife or your child or your best friend, in your home or caring for them. And here in 1 Peter, it is definitely to one another. So he's not talking about travelers or strangers. And showing hospitality to strangers was a thing in their culture anyways. We have hotels and cars. And the guy that wants to sleep at my house definitely may not sleep at my house. Because we know what he's doing on the way, you know, in town, up to no good. But there are cases where it's practical. Pastors tend to do that a lot, right? Other pastors are traveling through, missionaries, that sort of thing. When I grew up, we did a lot of that. We had a lot of people stay in our house, and sometimes they were traveling Christians. And people, and it made sense. And some people that spent the night in our house, it did not make that much sense because they were weirdos in our house. and it wasn't great. But having people over in your space, and it doesn't have to be in your house. Picking up hitchhikers is one of those things. I don't like picking up hitchhikers. I will do it randomly. Like every once in a while, I'm just like, I find myself pulling over and I don't even know why. And I have nothing afterwards to suggest it was a divine appointment. but being there for one another in that sort of way is one of the ways in which we're required to stretch ourselves. Right after this, we start getting into as each one has received a gift. as each one has received a gift, is a new thought being brought in. And it talks a little bit about the gifting after. My point is hospitality is often talked about as a spiritual gift. I cannot find a place in the Bible where hospitality is talked about as one of the gifts. This is a perfect example where hospitality is brought up before getting into the subject matter of gifting. This is part of the loving one another, stretch yourself and do it section. Be uncomfortable. I'm not saying like me. Just to be clear, I'm not saying like me. But I think this is saying, stretch yourself. Be uncomfortable. Love one another. Be hospitable to one another. Okay. Oh, and without complaint. Here with the hospitality, the without complaint is both like, don't be complaining about it, but also it makes it clear that you're not being hospitable because you like it. It's not, I love having people over and I bring out my special china and they're like happy to eat on my special china. And so people love me because I'm awesome and I get a lot out of it because like I'm so cool with my cool china. It's none of those things. It's without complaint. So you don't necessarily like it. You're stretching yourself with your hospitality. Okay. Now we can get into verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. There's a couple things in this verse that I wanted to talk about. One, as each one has received a special gift, the word special there, I don't know how yours translates it, but in mine, the word special is italicized. So it's implied in the passage, but it's not actually there. So as each one has received a gift, and the idea here is not if, or among all of you, if some of you have received gifts. That's not what he's saying. The implication is everyone has a gift. And we'll talk a bit more about that here in a second, but the other thing I wanted to point out, just so we get a good picture of this verse, and this is just probably because I'm not very good at English, but I didn't know what manifold meant. Anybody else have that struggle? Nobody. Good. You guys are all great. but I looked at the Greek and I immediately understood it better, not because I speak Greek, but because it gives me the more literal translation, which is many colored. And I was like, ooh, what a good word. Why don't we use that? The many colored grace of God. So God gives grace in many different ways, in many colors and shades and categories, which I thought was great. Okay, I wanted to look at a couple different verses real quick. Just Timothy, because there's two mentions with when it comes to Timothy and gifting. One is 1 Timothy 1:8. Oh, where did I go? Oh, 18. Verse 18. 1:18. I didn't see the 8 there. I have so many scratches over here in this corner on my notes. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight. Let's take a peek at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So there's this idea that Timothy has a particular gift and direction he's supposed to go that he received. Now, I think just knowing what kind of church I'm in, most of you, if I asked you what your gifts or your gift is, you're probably not going to say, well, you know, so-and-so laid hands on me and prophesied and or imparted a gift to me by the Holy Spirit to do X, Y, and Z. It's just not the kind of church we are. One or two of you probably do have a story like that, you might tell me. And I've been in situations like that. I've had that happen to me. How accurate it is, I'm still processing. I've had several people do some prophecy over me over the years, and some of them I can outright dismiss. They are goofy. They were feel-good stuff, you know, that people in certain circles just do. You know, like, I just want to bless you right now. You know, I feel the Lord is telling me you're going to be rich, happy, and glorious for the rest of your life. And you walk away and you're like, that felt good. It was meaningless, but it felt good. right? But God has given us gifts. And if you don't know what your exact gift is, it's probably okay. Like, and with exact gift, I don't mean you don't know what you're good at. I hope you know what you're good at, and I hope you bring to the body the things that you are good at. Whether they're things you're good at because you've developed them through hard work, or whether you're good at them because you're empowered by the Holy Spirit to do them. There is something very profitable about knowing what the Lord has gifted you with specifically and given you power to do, because there are things you can do through the power of God you just can't do as a man or woman. The Holy Spirit is, I want to say a great tool, but that seems disrespectful, but... Enabler, yeah. It gives you power. And sometimes you don't even know that power. A typical thing I hear about every once in a while is somebody's like, so-and-so is a gifted evangelist. I think that's one of those cases where it becomes really obvious really quick. You know, I say, hey, you need Jesus. You need to repent from your sin. And if I do it, that guy might beat me up, right? And respond in a very negative way. And then there are people that seem to have that gift of evangelism, and they say those words, and the guy breaks into tears, right? That's the Holy Spirit. There's no there are no books you can read to get that. But so it is wonderful to know what your gifts are, and I wish all of us knew what the Holy Spirit does through each one of you guys and through me, so that we can be more vigorous about using it, so that we can stir it up, and through that gifting do the loving of the one another. Because how beautiful would it be if that were the case? At work, I talk about Wild River a lot because, you know, you guys need to know where to eat. At work recently, I've been trying to deal with a problem. I have a particular crew and they work together several days of the week, but I have this particular crew where I have some weak people in the back, and they'll make pizzas slowly, and then there's a lady in the back who is very capable and has a lot of energy. And so they slowly make pizzas. She cuts pizzas, takes them out to the customers, answers phones, makes sandwiches, and fries the food. It gets busy sometimes. And she's trying to hold up the universe and then finds herself snapping at customers and doing some really negative things and bringing bad energy to the whole kitchen crew. And it kind of got to a boiling point, and I had to sit down with her and the manager of that shift, and we talked a little bit about it. And I pointed out, listen, if I was trying to do what you're doing, I too would snap at customers and start bringing some really bad energy. We can't do business that way. I needed those guys to have at least one other responsibility. Like one of those guys, it will be his responsibility to make sandwiches in between making pizzas. And the other guy, it's going to be his responsibility to fry food in between making pizzas so that she isn't running around carrying all but one of the loads, because it's not okay. We do that at church. The designated do everything sits right there right now. It's what we tend to do. I'm not saying this church does that very heavily, but it's kind of how we deal with churches. We do have other people doing things. This morning I walked into a clean church. Grace and Ferdinand were kind enough to come during the week and clean the church. You know, there's coffee brewing in the kitchen back there. You know, I've gotten smiles. The TV has words on it. Later I'm going to hear Dan speak. Also, music, thank you. I got a great handshake from Javier. Like, he walked up and, like, it was just, like, firm with good look in the eye. Elizabeth Rooney smacked me over the head. I'm in love. Right? We have these things like where like people are bringing in what they can. But imagine visiting a church. Imagine walking and visiting a church where everyone was practicing what they're good at, their part, actively, and stretching themselves to do it. After one morning at that church, you would move in. You would not leave. Why would you? It'd be the closest thing to heaven you could find. If everybody actually cared about you, what you're wearing, you know, like, you should come over for... I'll take you out to dinner, lunch, right now. You know, oh, I noticed you got a scratch on your truck. Let's buff that out. Like if everybody was just like, how can I stretch myself with the gifts that I have to love the people that are of God? What that would do would be amazing. And that's what Peter is asking for. Let's peek back at 1 Peter and finish out this section. So that's the manifold grace of God. And just to hammer that little, the manifold in one more time, it would not be great to show up to a church where everybody had the same gift. Some of the churches were doing that. The Corinthians, right? Everyone was speaking in tongues. And I don't think tongues even fits into this category. Because tongues, what do? They build you up. If you have tongues, if you speak in tongues, you get to be built up. And that's wonderful, but it's not a one another gift. It doesn't even qualify here. So whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. You know? Do it up. Look into it. Search the Holy Spirit. And then deliver it like you mean it. One of the things I get criticized for the most is by my sweet daughter, Grace, is because I often diminish myself while I'm up here, right? I like to talk about my flaws, and sometimes I'm like, you know, I don't know really what this means, but I kind of think, like, I kind of do that. This is the passage right here. Like, I'm doing that wrong, and so I'm trying to put an end to that, right? Because whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Look into it, know what you're saying, and then say it. And don't hold back. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. Get into it. Like, if yours is doing hard work, that's not a gifting. It is, but like, you know, but do it to your fullest. If you're making coffee, make the best coffee, right? I'm getting some of my men's. Yeah, but do it to the fullest. So that in all things, right? That's the thing about gifting is a gifting by the Holy Spirit isn't just the ability to do something, but it includes the power to do that thing. And that's the nice thing about a gifting of the Holy Spirit is that it's not of you. Right? You're getting both the ability and the power to do it from God. And that's why it'd be nice. All of you guys, I need to know what God supernaturally powers me with. But that doesn't mean that the things that he hasn't supernaturally imbued upon me, that they don't count. I'm to bring those too. Like the hospitality. It's not a spiritual gifting. It's a command. Stretch yourself. But when it comes to the spiritual gifts, how nice to have both the ability, supernatural ability, and the supernatural power to do it. So that in all things God may be glorified, right? That's the nice thing about those spiritual gifts. His ability, his power, which brings glory to him. That God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay. Your turn. Thoughts, questions, corrections, rebukes. Go ahead.
Comments.
Yes.
I know sometimes you look words up. Did you happen to notice that in verse 10 that the word gift and the word grace are very closely related? They both come from the word grace. And so, in a sense, God has graced us. And over the years, I was a young adult in the 70s when spiritual gifts was a big thing, and they have conferences, and here's a list of gifts, and which one are yours, and, mm-hmm. I don't see it that way anymore. I see it more the way I think you're talking about it, that God gives us opportunities to serve,
mm-hmm.
and he also gives us abilities, and, you know, whether it's something we're born with, or we develop it, or God supernaturally, it all comes from God. And there's a sense in which, yes, there are things that we're good at, and we should use them to build up the body, to honor the Lord. And there are things we're not good at, and sometimes, you know, like if you ever listened to Lake Wobegon and heard about the powder milk biscuits, they give you the strength to get up and do what needs to be done. And sometimes that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Something needs to be done, and maybe you're not the best person for it, but there it is right in front of you, so do it. Yeah. So yeah, I appreciate what you're saying. That
yeah.
It's for all of us. It's not just for the preacher.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I do try to go into this concept still feeling like I really, really, really want us to know our spiritual gifts that are not self-developed.
And also I've learned that the thing you're good at,
mm-hmm.
it often seems easy to you, and so you think, well, it's no big deal. Anybody could do that.
True.
I mean, I sew, and for years I thought, well, anybody could sew. That isn't true, and that's a gift that God has given me. And I try to use it to help other people.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Fred.
Yeah, this business about being charitable towards strangers is a culture that we're losing. It became clear to me when I was in a completely different country, and my foreman and I took the long road back just to do it, you know, and we ran out of fuel. And we were hungry, and we came to a estancia that had tens of thousands of sheep, and we asked if we could buy these things. And they sold us some liters of gasoline, because that's a new thing, you know. And then to eat, just go over there to the comedor, to the mess hall, and it was empty, and in the back there was a light on in the kitchen, and the cook made this yummy stew with fresh bread and guacamole and potatoes and lamb and all this. Ate, and we asked him what we owed him. He said, no, you come here, you eat. That is the culture we used to have in this country as well. Before the freeways came, people came into your home, your ranch, your farm on the frontier, and you sat them down on the table, you fed them. And then it's getting dark, you're going to bunk in the bunkhouse or in the barn or someplace, you know? And that is a culture of a Christian society. And we're losing that.
Mm-hmm.
I have another anecdote similar to this happened in this country, in Utah. I was the stranger. I was the hitchhiker, the bum on the street. A snowstorm. The trucks weren't running. That's a bad sign. Yeah. And I stood there on the entrance to the freeway with my thumb out, and nothing was happening. This woman stopped, picked me up from that town, small town in Utah. And that's stretching it. She's endangering herself. She sees me and picks me up. She's either the manager or the owner of a motel, and she gives me a room. I couldn't pay her. Have I not forgotten this? Obviously not. I'm still talking about it. That is what is meant. Stretching it. I'm not doing enough of that.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Let's pray. Jesus, before you went to the cross, you didn't want to go. And you said, Father, your will be done, not mine. You are king because you were the first to stretch yourself in that sort of aggressive way. And because of that, I am free from sin. And everyone here is either free from sin or has that option coming to them. Thank you for what you did. And teach us to be servants of yours who do what you do, who stretch themselves for your people as obedient children and as those who have received your love and your forgiveness and your bountiful grace. Lord, this is a hard command for us, but it is also a privilege and an opportunity for us to become obedient to you. Yeah. Help us to grow closer with one another. We have family camp coming up, Lord, and you hopefully will be the center of that, where we get to rub elbows more aggressively. And maybe figure out how we can get involved with one another more effectively. Lord, just in our midst this morning, be glorified. Bless our conversations, Dan's message, our singing and worship to you, Lord. Be glorified. Amen.